Robbie and Rochelle in the Morning on 107.1 The Boss is brought to you by DeluxeCarCareLLC.com, home of the Deluxe Rinseless Detailing Kit for a shine above the rest.
So I have a sweater that I've got to return. It's a Christmas gift. It's been sitting there in a box for weeks and weeks, and I keep putting it off because I do not have a receipt.
Wait, is this the sweater that you were going to originally return to get me a birthday gift, but then you didn't return and I didn't get a birthday gift?
Well, that's not exactly what the case was. The idea is that I would get cash back and then I could choose what to do with that cash.
Okay.
Because if something is a gift and it becomes my possession and then I return that and I get money for that gift, then I figure that it's acceptable.
I guess I see where you're coming from if you got cash back. But you're not going to because it's
a gift. I'm not getting cash back. Well, I did bring this thing back.
Okay.
So I did not get cash back because I don't have a receipt.
Uh-huh.
But I had a scheme that I was thinking, but unfortunately it didn't work out.
And what was the scheme?
Well, the scheme was I was going to bring it back and I was going to say, look, I don't have a receipt. I don't have a tag, so I'll just take the store credit. And then I pick something random that is of that value. And then I bring that back with a receipt and get cash back for that. And then I would be happy to have you, you know, to buy you anything that you would like. So then we could go shopping together and you could pick something out for yourself, you know, Valentine's Day or whatever it is.
And why didn't that work out for you?
Well, because they wouldn't do that. They tell you ahead of time.
Because they've thought that people might do something.
Well, I mean, I didn't specifically ask, you know, if this would be acceptable. I just read the fine print and store credit is final. So once it's store credit, it doesn't magically get converted back to cash. It's not like Monopoly or something like that, I guess.
So now we just have store credit.
Yeah, we have store credit, and this is where it gets silly, because I say, well, we can use the store credit for you, and then you don't want to do that.
Well, because it's your store credit. But it's not a gift for me.
If it is my store credit or if it had turned back to cash, it's something that I could then buy you something with. So I don't know why you feel like this is some sort of a half gift, just because it originated as a gift from somebody else to me.
Well, because number one, it's not a gift because it wasn't for me. It was for you originally. So it's your gift. And number two, credit gift card is like worse than getting an actual gift card, because it's not like, at least with the gift card, there was like maybe a little bit of thought as to what store I might like. But this is like a store credit merchandised gift card.
But if we go together,
random, like $53.62 on the card.
If we go together and pick something out together and the value on the card is now my property, I don't see why I can't gift it to you.
Okay. Well, I'll take it. I mean, money's money, but I just...
Dylan, do you want a gift or don't you? Okay. Beggars can't be choosers here. It's Robbie, Rochelle, Vinny off today. Must be nice, huh?
Yeah. I mean, again, this is one of those things that's weird with him. Usually it's a Monday or a Friday that he takes off. So I'm kind of surprised that on a Tuesday, a random Tuesday, he's taking the day off. But then I remember that it's also the first of the month. So maybe he's got stuff going on.
What does he have going on?
I don't know, but I'm just saying he just got paid. So maybe he's like, well.
I will say this. At least he called out a day in advance.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like a sickness. This seems like a premeditated avoidance of working.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Me.
He knows that he just got his paycheck. It's the first of the month. What's he doing? It's a Tuesday. This is not the usual Vinny way.
Well, either way, I find it very upsetting.
Well, that's fair.
Because I'm in a horrible mood today, and you have nothing of it, and then I can't take it out on anybody, so it's frustrating.
Well, I don't want your horrible mood to be taken out on me. I don't think that's fair.
Well, that's where you won't talk to me about it.
And well, what do you want to talk about? You just want to argue about how you're in a crappy mood?
Yeah, well, that's what he does with me every single day.
But he's really good at just making...
he'll go on and on with me.
Right, he'll just make light of it, and like, I feel bad, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to make you feel better, and I feel like everything that I say makes it worse.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
It's not true. I think the thing with him is that I just look at his face and I just start laughing, and so everything seems better.
I am a nurturer, and I just want to hug you and tell you I love you, and I'm here for you, and what do you want to talk about? And then that's not what you need.
Like, I know, but he'll say something rude and nasty, and it somehow makes me feel better.
So should I start doing that?
I think I'm sadistic in a way, as I kind of like.
You think?
Yeah. I think I kind of like the abuse that he gives me back.
Well, maybe you should just call him, because I don't know how to deal with this.
This is the only reason that I'm upset that he's not here, is that I have nobody to scream at. And then you know what I'm saying? It bums me out.
But. Yeah, you definitely don't want to scream at me. That's not going to bode well for you.
No, I wouldn't do that. And I don't even know that I really scream at him. I just miss having him here.
Well, hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. We'll see.
To make me feel better. We'll see. I doubt it.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive a full day of Robbie grumpiness, though, because usually if you are grumpy, he does get you out of the mood and then we're okay. But like, we're starting early today, so I got to go the whole day plus tomorrow morning with you being grumpy.
But my horrible moods aren't even horrible moods the way most people have horrible moods. It's just I feel like throwing a, because I'm a diva, I feel like throwing a temper tantrum. I'm like Diana Ross when the earpiece doesn't work. You know, like, I mean, there are people that have a horrible day because they're, you know, a check bounced or their car won't start.
Because they're actually having a horrible day.
I don't have that going on.
No.
I'm just a pain.
You know what we need to do? We need to go to that rage room. Lola, our 11-year-old, was telling us about that. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
You, like, go in the room and they just
they let you break stuff in a room.
Yeah, we need one of those, like, in the office. Like, there's an extra room back there, or maybe Neff will let us use his engineering room and we can just break stuff that doesn't work anymore anyway.
Hey, bad boy, you get some stuff you want us
to
break?
Seriously, I bet that would help if you were feeling crabby in the morning just to come in and like break an old fax machine, no?
But again, I'm not even crabby. It's just that I feel...
Well, you're crabby. I beg to differ.
Everything aggravates me. I just get in this headspace where I feel like everything aggravates me. And even if it goes well, I feel like it doesn't go well, you know?
Okay, well, how do
I... And this is why I need an entourage. I need a staff to coddle me.
So Vinny farting at you gets you out of that? Like, how is that a thing?
I don't know. It just works. Okay. By the way, Bad Boy Neff said that we need to stop talking about him because people are now coming up to him and going, how about those crunchy knees? So I guess I brought that up a little too much.
He's so fun to talk about, though, because he's just such a fun... He's so loud. Like, you know when he's... When he comes in, you know he's here. You're like, oh, that's Neff. Like, you can hear him. You can hear him. He's loud. He's fun. I like it.
He's a beer drinker, and I'm not. And I don't even know how we get on this conversation. I think it was about the snow the other day. He said he was going to treat himself to a beer.
Yes.
After he shoveled his snow. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's your beer of choice? And he goes, let me tell you something. And he got real serious. It's Busch Light. Busch Light.
Busch Light.
That's kind of an unusual choice. I thought he was going to say Budweiser or Coors or something like that. He's like, oh, I'll drink anything. He's like, but a Busch Light is delicious.
He prefers the Busch Light.
He's going on and on about this. And then one of the guys that works in the office walks by. He goes, hey, let me ask you. You agree with me? Is Busch Light delicious? The guy goes, it's trash. And he kept walking. I don't have any opinion either way, but...
I honestly don't think I've ever had a Busch Light. Like, I can't recall a time.
I'm sure somewhere along the way it must have happened, but...
Yeah, maybe in college I grabbed a random beer, but I certainly have never purchased a Busch Light.
It's never happened voluntarily.
Oh, no. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to try his recommendation, save a few bucks.
There is something that you passed along to me, talking about needing... needing people in my life. It's called Bumble BFF.
Yes.
No, I'd heard of Bumble.
Right.
Is a dating site.
You've been on Bumble.
Yeah, a long time ago. I tried it. I mean, I didn't ever meet anybody or go on any Bumble dates or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when I was single, I did try out the Bumble profile. Mm-hmm. But Bumble also has a friend site, kind of like a Bumble Facebook.
Yeah.
Where it's a way to meet people in your area if you're looking for friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, boy, that's a sad state of affairs where we all...
Is it, though?
We have such a hard time making friends and meeting people that you have to go on an app to do it.
But I feel like we live in a day and age where, other than the people that you work with, and as an adult, I think this is really typical of most adults, other than the people you work with, who do you talk to? Where do you find a friend?
I wish there was someone else I could call to complain to.
That's what I'm saying. So
other than you and Vinny.
It's hard because we work with all of these people. So it's like we want to be friends, but also I want to find some friends outside of work to have like some sort of life.
I haven't clicked on this thing, but do you have to create a profile like you would a dating site?
Yeah, so it's called Bumble BFF.
Right,
and so you can go on there and you create a profile and it's strictly platonic. It's just for friends. And you can put in there what your interests are, just like if you were dating. You can put if you're married, if you're looking for couples as friends, if you're looking... But it's strictly platonic. There's no funny business here. And well, because
there's no funny business.
Because you go on, like, if you go on, like, connections on... Remember, Craigslist used to have, like, a friendship thing, and people were, like, male, female, male, looking for woman. Like, no.
Person I saw at the drugstore,
This is not any... It's literally just
a... So if you say that you're a fan of martial arts movies, it'll connect you with other people that have similar interests, right?
Yeah, so, and it's the same thing, like, if you're swiping on Bumble.
But do the same rules work as far as, like, creating a profile picture that makes you look likable to other people?
Well, sure, you have to add your profile pictures, and it lets you add, I think, 7 profile pictures, and you can put your likes, your interests, what area you're in, what area you're willing to travel to find friends.
Doesn't always say a man is supposed to put a picture of himself with a dog to make himself look, like,
that's
look approachable?
That's dating. Yeah. That's dating.
So what makes you look like a good friend?
I don't know. I'm being out at a bar, having fun, drinking a Busch Light.
That's what you, who needs Bumble BFF? You just go and you say, hey, you like Busch Light?
Right. There you go.
That's a way to make friends. Well, it's going to be a long morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not even in a bad mood. Sometimes I just feel like complaining.
That's fine.
You know how they say people look at rose-colored glasses?
They look through rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, I have the opposite of that. I have the opposite of rose-colored glasses.
You're just sunglasses all day long?
Yeah, mine are dark glasses. Like I've been binging all night long. Uh-huh. The whole world looks like that right now.
Great.
It's like gray.
Awesome.
I have black and white glasses, I guess, is what it would be.
I think maybe you need a drink. It'll make your glasses feel a little lighter.
Probably put none of this on my Bumble BFF profile.
Probably not.
All right, on the way later on this morning, we've lined up some callers here. People go over friend's house, relative's house. They find something strange, a little out of the ordinary.
Hmm.
See what that's about. Plus a he said.
She said.
On the way at 7:50, we'll have some snow shoveling advice if you still haven't gotten to it. Or you need to do it again if you kind of half-assed it the other day. That's coming up. We really do check all our messages on Facebook, or you can email us, 1071theboss.com. If you get an event going on you think people should know about, if you're trying to give back to the community, you're doing a little charity event, we love to share them all here on your CBB, the Community Bulletin Board. The New Jersey Bridal and Wedding Expo is happening this Wednesday at the Meadowlands Expo Center, featuring a huge selection of wedding professionals ready to help you find your perfect gown, reception venue, invitations, photographers, musicians, DJs, menu, honeymoon destinations. They got a huge list here. And the bridal fashion show and live DJ demo is happening. Can you imagine the live DJ demo? I'm just trying to... Because
yes,
we know
I
some
can.
Of these people.
Yeah.
They got the slick back hair, the little earring. Hey, how you doing? I'm Tommy Turntable. Yeah, what's going on?
Colorful bow tie with the cummerbund.
I got my VIP tuxedo. It's been some cool in the gang.
Yeah.
NJWedding.com for tickets and more info. I'm just picturing them having like a DJ off or something, trying to compete for business.
A DJ off?
Yeah. Wiki. I don't know. Tons of prizes and giveaways as well.
You've clearly never been to a bridal show.
Well, they say there's live DJ demos. You got a bunch of these guys next to each other. I feel like they're going to have a DJ off.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess. It's usually just a DJ playing music while you're talking to all the vendors. It's not like a DJ off in the middle of the dance floor.
Well, aren't there multiple DJs that are looking to get hired for the wedding?
Yeah, but they usually will have like one in the ballroom, one in the hallway, one outside, one near the limo, so they're not actually competing with each other. But I don't know. Maybe it's a different kind of expo.
Well, let me tell you. That'd be pretty exciting if you did. Speaking of DJs, the Central Jersey Record and CD Show is happening this Sunday. This is fun. It's an old bridge at the Elks Lodge. They'll have, of course, 45s, 12-inch CDs, DVDs, memorabilia, and a whole lot more if you like all that sort of stuff. It's alleeevents.in for all the details. Do I have that right? It's not .com, it's .in?
It's .in.
All right.
Interesting.
And speaking of retro, the New Jersey Sports Card Convention is going on all weekend long at iPlayAmerica in Freehold. They've experienced card dealers and collectors. They'll bring sports fans a wide variety of collectibles, novelties, and sports card memorabilia, and a whole lot more. It's kind of like you go to a comic book convention, a baseball card convention.
Yeah.
It's like going to the liquor store where they get the really the high-end booze locked up in the case.
Yeah.
And it's like, these $3 ones, these are for you people. Ask me if you got any questions. Sure. If you actually got a bankroll, then come and see me and I'll take out the $500 Honus Wagner card.
Sure, sure.
I think it's $2 million.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Honus Wagner, I think, is the most valuable card of all time.
Okay.
Anyway, iPlayAmerica.com for info on that. Just a couple of things we thought you needed to know this morning. Robbie and Rochelle, Vinny is off today. You're going to be house sitting this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of yours is giving you her house for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, she's...
You're traveling, and you get to stay at the house as opposed to grabbing a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows Rochelle does a lot of traveling back and forth. So she's out of town, and she said, you want to stay at the house?
Yeah.
And now you're wondering, is it okay to invite my other friend, who's not really friends with her, over to hang out? Is that about right?
Well, I actually want to invite my other friend and my brother over and his girlfriend, because I'm in town and I haven't seen a lot of these people in a while, because usually when I go, it's, you know, I'm just going to see the kids or going to pick them up or whatever. And so I happen to have a place that's not a hotel room. It's a place that I could semi-entertain.
She's also letting you borrow her car.
She is.
Which is really nice.
She is. Yes. I am house sitting and dog sitting for her. She does have two large dogs that I'll be taking care of. But I don't know if that's...
Now, if it snows, will you shovel for her?
yes, if she has boots there that I can wear, because I don't know that I have snow boots.
Now, I don't know if she gets the newspaper, but her mail probably come. Will you go get the mail?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're taking your feed in the dogs, you're walking the dogs.
Absolutely.
Then I think you're fine to enjoy the amenities of the place.
But do you think that I need to ask her if I invite, like, I'm not throwing a house party.
I mean,
I'm
unless
just
she's like super jittery because of COVID or that kind of thing. I can't see what the big deal
no,
is.
No, I mean, I don't think she would be. And I mean, obviously no one that's coming in the house is going to be, you know,
Yeah, right. If they're sick, they're not coming
right,
over.
Right, they're
yeah.
not going to come over. Sure. So I don't know like what that etiquette is if I'm house sitting for someone, if I have to ask them or let them, is it a, hey, I wanted to let you know, or hey, I wanted to ask you. And then if I ask her and she's like, oh, I'm not really comfortable with that. Like, do I turn around and say, well, I kind of had these plans. Do I get a hotel room or do I back out? Like, I don't know what to do. I feel.
Well, first of all, I think you're fine. I don't think you need to do anything.
You don't. I mean, so you don't think I should say anything?
Well, you're not
to
throwing,
her?
Like you say, you're not throwing a
no,
party.
No, I just thought I'd make dinner for everyone.
There's not going to be
over.
A keg and a stripper no. or anything. So I think. So I think
I don't think so.
And again, you're going to go and buy the food. It's not like you're.
Yeah, no.
And you'll clean up after yourself. So I think
course.
You're fine to invite your brother.
Right.
And maybe one other girlfriend over. I guess. And she knows both of them, right?
No,
even though
yeah,
she's not necessarily.
She knows everyone. But, I mean, you do make a good point about COVID. And, like, I don't really know her stance on that.
Not having
like,
people in the house at all.
Yeah,
I mean, she's letting you in the house.
She is letting me in the house, but she also knows that I'm not sick and that I'm, you know, I've...
Well, then I think she needs to trust that you're not going to let sick people in the house.
Yeah, so you don't think that...
And even if the people are sick, not that they should come over
no,
if they're sick,
no,
but
I
even
have,
if they were, you can still wipe
well,
down
right,
your
I'm
space.
I'm going to have the
right?
kids there and everything, so obviously no one that I invite over is going to be sick in any fashion. If they're like, I have pneumonia, I'm not going to be like, well, come on over.
But yeah, like COVID and all of that stuff aside, I don't see any problem in having a person or two over. It's like when you're a kid and you babysit, you invite your boyfriend over. People do that stuff all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, but you're not really supposed to do that.
Says who? I think you're fine.
Well, okay, so here's the...
Well, look, if you feel better, ask her.
Here's a, well,
ask,
I,
go ahead and ask her.
I want to, but I'm also afraid that she will say no, but she also... I know that she has doggy cams in her house. So...
Oh, so you're just worried you're going to get caught. That's the only reason
know.
You're even thinking
I don't know if it's get caught. I just am wondering if I should mention it to her. And then also, like, I feel kind of uncomfortable about the doggy cams being on while I'm house sitting because, I mean, you just feel like someone's watching you. So, like, is it okay to turn those off? Because she has them when she is gone for the whole day or whatever. Just
well, that's what you need
dogs.
To ask her is, can I turn the doggy cams off? Because if you want to prance around in your underpants and or something in the bedroom.
Well...
You're not going to be with the kids 100% of the
no,
time, right? Every,
no.
You got to
well,
sleep.
Yeah, I don't plan on prancing around in my underwear, though.
What rooms does she have them in? Is it just in the like the den by
I
the
think
television?
They're, yeah, I think they're in the living room. There's one in the living room, one in the kitchen, and then I think there's one in her bedroom, which is probably where I will stay because that's where the dogs generally tend to sleep.
I mean, what is she, J. Edgar Hoover? That seems like a little bit of overkill, doesn't it?
Well, like though you get those Nest cams for your house.
We've got just, one. She got them in every room.
Well, we probably need more than one because we can never see Rick the cat whenever we attempt to use it. Because
listen, all we need for is just to say, okay, the house is still there. It hasn't caught fire, hasn't burned down, so he's fine. I mean, and listen, all right, let me take a step back. I think number one, you need to tell her to shut them off so you can comfortably
yeah.
enjoy your time hanging out in the house.
Right.
Number two, if it makes you feel better, let her know you're having people. And if she's really got such a big issue, just go out and meet them at Applebee's or
I
something.
I guess it's
you know?
True. We could just go out to eat. I didn't really think about that.
Man, talk about stressing over nothing. You got
okay.
first world problems.
I'm sorry. It's weird being in someone else's house. I'm sorry.
You gotta be more like Goldilocks. Try every bed. See what suits you. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. This one's comfy. Joe Exotic has been resentenced to 21 years in prison, about a year less than his original sentence of 22 and a half years.
Man, but hasn't he already served a year?
I guess
so. It's
true.
Not technically any less. I mean, they're like, yeah, sure, Joe, we're going to give you one less year. Also, you've already served a year, so really it's the same.
Well, I mean, he gets out a little bit sooner, I guess, by a year. So.
I guess. But again, he's already served a year. So
yeah, so now he's got 20 less to go as opposed to 22 less to go.
Oh, I see. Was he originally sentenced to 23?
I think it was 22 and a half, and now it's 21. So he's
right, but he's already served a year, so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
but then he's already closer to being out, right?
I guess, but that would have happened either way. It wasn't technically a resentencing.
So he's not, I wonder if they're doing a Tiger King season 3.
I don't know if they're like all in jail. Can you?
Well, Carol Baskin's not
and
in jail.
Well, and they're
she probably should be,
aren't
but
they
she's
taking those tigers away like they said.
Yeah.
So like, what will the show be about? Like dirt? Will it be Joe Dirt? Joe
That's
Dirt.
Right. It becomes Joe Dirt. By the way, there was a 46% decrease in viewership from season to season.
Oh, okay.
According to a source at Netflix.
Interesting.
I guess
well, there's
are,
only two seasons, right?
People are losing interest. Yeah, but they lost almost 50% of the audience between the first and the second. It was a thing. I wonder if that would have become such a thing if people weren't all at home.
No,
because it happened to come out right at the beginning of quarantine.
I don't think so. I think that was so big because we were just not sure what else to do, and we were like, let's go with this craziness.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being stuck in the house, time for hashtag mom confessions. We search the socials every day, 720, 920, for that very hashtag from moms, from grandmoms, from dads. Sometimes we hear from kids talking about mom, just like this.
Joy Heading said, I have IBS. When my kids were little and I was having an episode, I would blame my toots on them and their poopy diapers.
We get a guy in the building that's got the IBS. I'm convinced
of it. No, he doesn't.
Convinced of it.
You don't know.
I mean, I drink a lot of water. I try to stay hydrated here. I drink a lot of coffee. So maybe two or three times during the course of the show, I might need to go.
You don't know, though.
And visit the bathroom. Always closed. And I can always see who is not where they're supposed to be, who's not at their desk, at their perch. Guys get IBS.
You don't know
And then it
that.
Stinks in there inevitably
oh
when I try
gosh.
5 minutes later.
Why
stinks.
Don't guys spray? What is that? Guys never
I spray.
Well, okay. Well, I'm just wondering because like men I'm never seem to. Their spray is right there.
I'm on the spray train. Okay.
Melissa Mowry said, my husband and I put our toddler to bed early last night so we could eat our cold stone without having to share with them.
That's fair.
That is fair. Nicole Cross said, this morning, my son hugged me and wished me happy birthday and proceeded to wipe his booger behind my ear, which I just found now while sitting at a meeting over an hour later.
I know you and I don't necessarily always agree on these things, but we are just, not only should we all be more formal in general, we are just too informal with our children.
Yeah, probably.
You know how they talked about how grandpa would just have to look at you and you know you're in trouble?
Yeah.
And now we're at the point where a kid is wiping his snot on his mom's ear. I swear to God, I wouldn't have eaten for a month if I'd done that. I might not be sitting here today. I can't. If I had a dime for every time my mother said, you want to live to see seven? You know what I mean?
That's terrible.
Lived in constant fear.
Wow.
Hashtag mom. And I loved it. It was good for me.
I'm sure.
I was like Cool Hand Luke.
It's definitely good for you.
Sure, remember morning. Might hear yours. Well, Don, first of all, I have to say it is a thrill to talk to you. I've been a fan of your work, of your music for many, many years. So thank you for making some time for us. And we're excited to see you at the Basie Center February 28th. Big show coming up.
Yeah, you know, I look forward to coming back there and playing for you guys. It's going to be a really fun, rocking evening. I have some of the best players in the music business in my band. Everybody's impeccable credits are just amazing.
You talk about the group of musicians you surround yourself with. There is that influence from country, that influence from rock, and that really is what made a lot of the music that you did with the Eagles famous, was a country rock blend. And it's kind of neat that you're still doing that yourself now, you know, blending those different genres together with the kind of musicians that work with you.
Well, I would say that these musicians are musically probably capable of playing anything.
Right.
They're just such an incredibly high caliber of dexterity and musical insight that it's just amazing. When this band starts playing, you're like, whoa. Even I'm knocked over on occasion when I haven't been out with them for two or three weeks, and then we get back on the first sound check. It's like, yeah, that's the stuff right there, you know. So it's amazing to play with such high caliber musicians, and everybody sings. We do vocal rehearsals backstage with the acoustic guitar to just freshen up everybody on the background harmonies and everything. And you stand there hearing these guys sing a cappella, and it's just wow.
Yeah, we're talking here with Don Felder. I'll tell you, your passion is palpable, and it's fun to talk to you. So I wonder, how have things, you know, you look back at your career, how have things changed as far as going in the studio, as far as touring? How have they stayed the same? So, how has the business changed over your years in the music business?
You know, you talk about record stores have evaporated.
Right.
I used to love to go into record stores and flip through and find somebody's new record and, oh, take it home and put it on my turntable. Now people are actually going back to vinyl because the sound of vinyl with analog tube mic pre's, preamps and power amps, to me, sounds better than digital. Digital has no warmth. It's all numbers.
I agree.
Numbers aren't warm. People are actually going back and You can't download your vinyl. You can download the digital format. But, you know, I know Stephen Stills. We were in a band since we were 14. He's got a house down the street about less than a mile from me. And in his studio, he has an analog 24-track tape recorder. And he still records a lot of his stuff on that analog tape recorder. I'm a big fan of analog myself. I always have been, from the old Philco radios, and turn them on and they just sound great when it was playing, you know, Little Richard playing Tutti Frutti, blaring out of that little Philco radio. It was just unbeatable.
Man, I want to live in the same neighborhood as Don Felder, Slash, and Stephen Stills. That must be a cool place to live. But, you know, it's funny, by the way, you bring up Little Richard, because this is something I wanted to ask you. I saw a quote of yours from a while back that seeing Elvis on Ed Sullivan is kind of what inspired you to get in this whole crazy business. Is that true?
That's exactly right. The night that Elvis was on, I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even own a guitar at that time. So I saw Elvis and all those girls screaming and him rocking and rolling. I went, I think I'd like to do that. That was like a lot of fun. So I got a guitar from a kid across the street and traded him a handful of cherry bombs for it. We didn't have any money to buy anything, you know. So I had to, I think it was missing two strings, and I was washing cars or mowing lawns to get money to go down to the drugstore, because there was no music store. But the drugstore used to carry black diamond strings, and I'd go in and buy one string. And then I'd come back and found a guy a couple of blocks away from me that had a guitar. And he could sort of play, but he showed me how to tune it. And he taught me this one song called Red River Valley. And so I was off and running. I used to sit and listen to music and just train myself how to listen to it and figure out how to play it. Just me trying to figure out, how do you make this thing go? How do I sound like Buddy Holly? How do I sound like Elvis? You know, so that was my driving inspiration. Matter of fact, funny story. When Gibson Guitar Company wanted to produce what they called the Don Felder Hotel California guitar,
right,
they called me up and said, we want to do this. And I went, well, I had to send my 59 Les Paul to them, their custom shop, so they could just go over it identically and manufacture it today, a perfect replica, down to cigarette burns and cracks and stuff. And on the back of it, I used to wear a belt with a metal belt buckle, and it just corroded and tore the finish off the back of that guitar. And so when I got to the Gibson custom shop when they were making this thing, I said, oh, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do those scratches in the back of that guitar on the ones you're making? And he pulled out this drawer and pulled out this belt buckle. It was a rhinestone belt buckle that said Elvis on it. And he started scratching the back of my guitar. And I said, that's how I started, and that's how it's going to go. Elvis was the inspiration, and he's just embedding himself in every one of these guitars.
I could talk music with you all day, but we got to let you run to Basie Center. It's February 28th. Tickets are on sale right now, so you can go to their website or call the box office. Don Felder, thanks for making some time for me. Really, really great to talk to you.
Well, please come out to the show and come backstage afterwards and say hello, and let me thank you personally for taking the time to do this for me. I appreciate it.
We found something on Reddit about weird things that people have seen in a friend's house or relative's house that friend or relative thought, or at least seemed to think, was totally normal. But you're sitting there going, what in the world is the deal with this? But they're just going about their business. And for example, they let one person says they let their dogs and their cats into the basement to go to the bathroom, even though they had a backyard.
Ew. Like they were just defecating on the floor?
I mean, I guess it makes sense for a cat to have his litter box in the basement. For a dog, that seems a little weird.
Yeah, that is strange. They do have like those puppy pads for dogs to train inside, but I think at some point, like you're supposed to, because if the dog gets too big, that's a lot of, you know, stuff.
So a friend of mine spit on the floor, didn't clean it up afterwards.
Just spit?
She said, I didn't have any tissues handy, so I guess I'll get it later.
Ew, so she just spit on the floor?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Guy says, my friend, my buddy still lives with his mom. I come over to the house and she says, all right, make sure to take a lunch. And if you get a chance, go into the bathroom and take care of yourself. You know, take care of yourself.
His mom said that?
So you don't get your aggression issue. And he just goes, yeah, sure. Thanks, Mom.
Oh my God.
I never heard that that's a treatment for anything, but.
Wow, that's.
We're friends with a couple who allows their toddler to sip wine cooler. They said, there's not that much alcohol in it. What's the big deal? So I held my tongue, but I thought that was crazy. So you get the idea. Yeah, These are all trending on Reddit here. We've lined up some phone callers that also have some stories. So let's hear these. Let's go to line one. This is Laura.
So we have two ghosts living in our house. living in our home, and seriously, I have gotten a back rub.
What?
Also, in the middle of the sleep, he undid my bra.
What are you talking about? You have ghosts living in your house?
Yeah, what? That's so weird.
Well, actually, we think it's an older gentleman and his son who would be in his 30s or 40s who's got a haunted horny ghost.
Haunted horny ghost? No, that is not normal.
No, that's not a normal thing.
A haunted horny ghost.
Laura, I think you might have misunderstood what we were looking for.
That's
here.
That's amazing.
Now, I imagine if she has friends coming over, they might... They might have called and said...
Can you imagine going to Laura's house and you're just sitting on the couch and all of a sudden your bra is unsnapped? You're like, she's like, oh, sorry, I have a haunted horny ghost. What?
Just Bob the ghost. It's just the ghost that lives in the house.
Wow, okay.
That's pretty strange.
That's not normal. Mm-mm.
Let's go to Brittany.
They had a life-size stuffed mountain goat in their living room.
Oh my gosh, that is weird.
Yeah, they had all kinds of things. But if my cousins are listening, they know who I'm talking about, too.
Yeah. I guess we get a hunter.
Where do you get a mountain goat?
I mean, I suppose it would be fine to mount the head. I know there are people that do that. I find that to be a little queasy. I'm not crazy about that.
But the full body?
But the full body.
That's pretty graphic.
I mean, I know they taxidermy squirrels and those kind of birds and that kind of thing.
I don't necessarily think that that's super normal to have in the house, like a tax.
Certainly not a full. I think the.
If you
like an elk head.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that's to each their own.
Or a moose or something.
But a mountain goat. What kind of gonker is that? Like he.
Just strange.
It is strange.
He kicked me from behind. I took him down. Now he's stuffed and he's on my back patio. All right, one more. This is Dawn.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're fine. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a home inspection business and we use thermal cameras and we're scanning this house that had been unoccupied for a couple of years. And we noticed this real hot spot up in the ceiling. So the guys get up there to figure out what it was. And it was a squatter that was living up in the attic.
Oh.
And he had just totally moved in and assumed the house was his and... You know, had the whole setup, but it was just all up in the attic.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not normal.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's a real interesting thing with those thermal cameras, I tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the least of the things you've noticed with your thermal camera. I guess that's different than the blue light, I suppose.
Yeah, well, sort of.
Have you wanted to do that? You go over somebody's house?
No.
You just want a blue light?
I hear you. Yes and no, because I feel like I would look at somebody differently if I saw a bunch of, like, blot marks all over their house.
Probably nothing you can do to help it when you come to think of it. You know, everybody's furniture gets dirty.
Yes, I don't know.
Sometimes you go to like a movie theater or someone's house and you sit someplace and you feel itchy afterwards.
Yes, that's the worst.
And then other times
ever.
You go and you sit, you know, you go to a restaurant, you sit in the chair, it doesn't bother you at all. Other times you feel itchy and you just wonder what was going on that fabric.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Ugh. Well, those were not what I expected. But anyway, weird things you've seen at a friend or relative's house. Thank you for those phone calls. Catch up with us on all the socials anytime. Hear our podcast streaming on demand, 1071theboss.com, or wherever you get your podcast. We are still on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike so many artists now, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, there's a whole bunch of them that have pulled their material, as you know, from Spotify in protest to the fact that they've got the Joe Rogan podcast on there.
It's their music. They can do what they want.
Yeah, they can. I think the whole thing is ridiculous, and I'll tell you why. I don't think I've ever heard Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
didn't he used to be a host of something, didn't he host?
He was the host of Fear
Factor. Fear Factor, right, okay.
But now he's got like 100 million listeners every week with his podcast.
Oh, okay.
And sure, maybe some of the stuff he puts on there is garbage,
mm-hmm.
but it's a free country, right? He can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
As long as he's not yelling fire in a theater. I don't know why.
I have no idea. I honestly have. I'm kind of out of the loop on this one. Like, I know he has a podcast. I don't know what was said on there or why people are so outraged. But
they claim that he's spreading misinformation.
Well, then don't listen to him.
Well, that's what I think.
Because
it could go the other way around.
Listen, I'm all for people canceling their Spotify. That's all I'm saying. Cancel it.
But wait a
listen
minute.
Here.
Our podcast is on Spotify.
Well, just listen now. We're on right now.
Well, not everybody can listen all the time.
Well, then go to 1071theboss.com and you can listen all day.
That's
no
true.
Need for Spotify.
All right, well, fine.
There you go.
But there might come a point where someone is offended, believe it or not, by something that I say.
No.
I wouldn't want, I wouldn't want Pete Townsend or somebody or Axl Rose to boycott the radio station because they don't like us being
on
the air.
Are you kidding? That would be such good publicity if like
right
Axl Rose was like never listening to Robbie Bridges ever again. You'd be like retweet.
I was like, I feed on your hatred. Yeah. I'm like a villain in the Avengers.
Axl Rose hates me.
By the way, the Spotify CEO, Daniel Ek, that's his name, Daniel Ek, he says there'll now be a content advisory.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
It's amazing after his stock drops like 70%. He's like, oh, well, we'll take some action.
They should have that anyway, right? If there's like explicit material.
Fine. So put a content advisory, but don't take it off.
Yeah.
We should hear all sides, even if one of the people are, you know, complete bad crazy. They should still be allowed to say it.
I'm
right?
with you. Freedom of speech. I'm with you.
All right, a couple of things, Trinity, this morning we thought you'd like to know. These are things that happened during the snowstorm the other day, I guess is the best way to put it, right?
Okay.
There's a reporter from a TV station in Boston. He's on location, and he's asking people, you know, you see reporters do this. So, how you making it through the snow? Inevitably, they start talking about Tom Brady retiring instead.
Oh, yeah.
Where does this rank in terms of storms?
This was a pretty good one. Top five.
Have you heard the news about Tom Brady?
How much snow did you get? Oh, that's great. What do you think about Tom Brady? By the way, Tom has not officially announced that he's retiring, so all of this might be overblown.
It's kind of interesting.
Meanwhile, there is a couple up the road in Rhode Island that got married during the blizzard.
We've been planning it for 14 months.
We have a few cutting boards with the state on it. A couple mugs. And a marriage license with it on it.
That's so funny. You talk about the people who have a destination wedding, and then you're obligated to pay, you know, 10 grand to go fly to Turks and Caicos. Can you imagine being asked to, you're the best man, you got to go through a snowstorm to get to the wedding?
Were they get married outside or something?
They got married at the public library up there.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, I don't know. They knew there was a blizzard coming, so everybody needs to stay close. I don't understand why that's making news.
Well, I'm not going to. There's a blizzard going on, I'm not leaving the house.
You wouldn't go to the wedding?
No, I'm out.
Really?
No. And if it were our wedding, I would cancel it.
No, you wouldn't.
100%.
You would cancel our wedding
over
we'll do
it the next day.
You can't.
Well,
you can't just
I ain't going
do
out
it.
In a blizzard.
Listen, I'm with those people. They already had mugs printed. It's go time. Okay? It's go time.
This is happening.
I can't change the mugs now.
I wish I had audio of this. I do not. But there was a news story from Hartford where someone tried to melt the snow in their driveway. Didn't want a shovel.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have a snow blower. Tried to use a flamethrower.
Watch out for fire. Fire bad.
You mentioned this before.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it was. I thought I had a genius idea.
Yeah.
This guy set part of his house on fire. Had to call the fire department.
No.
Like, they did have more important things to be doing.
Is it legal to have a flamethrower?
I would imagine you need a license to have
Well, like a gun. You need like a gun, like a carrying license.
I don't know if it would be a gun license.
Like, where do you go to like Walmart for a flamethrower?
I have no idea. Why don't you ask your mom? She's packing heat all the time.
True.
I have no idea.
She asked for bullets for Christmas.
But I mean, I think if you get a permit, you can have a damn bazooka if you want. I mean,
I just don't know where you go to buy. Like, yes, I'll take one flamethrower and a fire extinguisher. I don't know. Like, that's so weird to me.
All right, number two, speaking of your mom, Dateline Florida, because it's always Florida. There's a woman in big trouble there. She made a typo on her computer. She's typing in to pay her bill.
Uh-huh.
Her credit card bill was $430 for the month. That must be nice, by the way.
Yeah, what's that like?
I don't know. Maybe she's got multiple credit cards.
Maybe, probably.
She accidentally added too many zeros and paid $43,000 toward her credit card bill. It caused an overdraft of her accounts.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even go to the store. I can't buy milk. I can't pay for my husband's medication.
There's nobody you can call when this happens.
Yeah.
I mean, on a bottle of Tylenol, there's a kid's lock.
Mm-hmm.
There's not some sort of safety protection in case you make a typo.
I will tell you, this actually happened to me. Obviously, not that amount, but I went to pay $100 on another card, and I paid $1,000, and it threw my account into an overdraft. And I did get it reimbursed, but it took 6 weeks to get it back. 6 weeks. It totally screwed me. So I can't even imagine what that poor woman is going
through.
That's
like stepping on a Lego. That hurts.
Seriously.
Number three, there's a super fan of Tab Soda. He's begging the Coca-Cola company who used to make Tab bring it back. She has a stockpile of 23 12-packs left. She used to buy them in bulk when they were still making Tab. She's got an online campaign going. For now, Coca-Cola says, nope, they're not making it anymore. Beautiful people. Remember this? That's a good jingle.
I thought you could still buy Tab. No, is that discontinued?
I thought they discontinued it a long time ago. To be honest with you, apparently it wasn't that long ago.
Oh, okay.
That's like saying I'm a big Jean-Claude Van Damme fan. You don't often hear someone this passionate about Tab
Have
soda.
You ever had Tab?
No.
It tastes just like Coke to me. Like, I don't get it. I don't know.
It kind of looked like they had the Dr. Pepper can and they just changed that one part.
Yes, exactly. But it tasted like Coke to me. I don't know.
Number four, Sean Penn says he thinks there's a real issue today with men acting too feminine. He says men must have cowardly genes these days.
Oh.
I just like wearing women's clothes sometimes.
It just feels right sometimes.
What is that? That's not Sean Penn talking. Who is that?
I don't know.
I guarantee you he was not sharing any of these thoughts when he was married to Madonna, because she could definitely kick his butt. He could beat him up without a problem, okay?
Oh, for sure.
And number five, I don't know if you saw the Betty White tribute show on NBC last night. It was supposed to be the celebration of her 100th birthday. It ended up being a celebration of life. Cher saying thank you for being a friend, the theme from the Golden Girls.
Love that.
Man, she's just one of those people. As soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, that's Cher singing the Golden Girls theme.
Yeah, of course.
You know exactly who it is.
That's right.
And by the way, you didn't need to go to Spotify to get that song, did you?
You're welcome.
You don't need Daniel Eek.
That guy's a tool.
Tuesday celebrity birthday file. Harry Styles, 28 today. Boxer Ronda Rousey is celebrating. Michael C. Hall. Pauly Shore, one of your favorite actors.
Love him.
Did you know he was born on the very same day as Lisa Marie Presley?
I did not know that.
So somewhere in the world, Elvis was having a baby, and Pauly Shore came into the world, too.
It's a good day.
One of the original SNL cast members, Garrett Morris, 85 today. Rick James and Clark Gable.
Born
on this day. Today is National Dark Chocolate Day.
Every day is National Dark Chocolate Day.
I dunk that right in your coffee.
Woohoo!
Yes.
It's He Said, She Said with Robbie and Rochelle.
We get a big snowstorm like we had this past weekend. I think the trickiest thing could be the aftermath.
Yeah.
Because one thing after it snows to then worry about, well, okay, the storm's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to shovel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to put salt down.
Yes.
Then I got to clean off the car.
Yes.
But then what goes on and on is that it keeps refreezing.
Uh-huh.
And you probably shovel your own walk, your own driveway better than a lot of the cities are able to shovel some of those streets.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're not shoveling. They're using the trucks and all of that, right? So you inevitably get those slick spots. You get the black ice and all of that. And then there's those big giant piles. Like, we went to the mall the other day. You get the big giant pile at the end of the parking lot.
Yeah.
You try and turn right. You can't see if there's a car coming, right?
Yeah.
So would you have advice for driving in the snow, driving in the aftermath of a big snowstorm, in three words or less?
Huh.
I would say don't.
Just one word,
if you can, just stay home.
I'd say no sudden movements. No sudden movements.
In other words, don't dart in and out of lanes,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right, don't try to turn quickly. Don't try to slam on your brakes. No sudden movements. Or leave extra space. Like, I'm super cautious when I'm driving anyway, but especially when it's snowing or just after a snow, I'll leave like five cars in between me and the car. I'm like, you can go around. I don't care, because I'm not going to, if this guy slams on his brakes, I don't know if mine are going to work, so I'm not trying to slam into his back end. So leave extra space.
Well, a lot of your advice is probably good advice anyway. These are things you should be doing regardless.
Well, I don't know that I normally leave three to five car spaces in between me.
You shouldn't be riding someone's tail anyway.
No,
you know, like that bumper sticker, if you can read this, you're too close, you know?
No, you shouldn't. But I mean, there are sometimes when somebody's going like 20 in a 50 and you're like, come on. But
well, that does happen in the snow, because I think it's one thing to take it slow,
yes,
especially if you're right in the midst of a snowstorm. But it's another, and oftentimes you want to drive in the tracks of the guy ahead of you.
Right.
But then if that person is doing 20 in a 50, you're like, come on.
We can
do 40 in a 50, so we're going a little slower, because usually we're doing 65 in a 50.
My thing is, I think you should only drive as comfortable as you are. So if you're going to go slow, then fine. But don't be like in the left lane doing that, or don't get frustrated when I go around you, because I feel more comfortable. I think the other, get winter tires. That'd be another one. Like, don't drive.
We meant to do that this year, and it didn't happen.
No. We need them, though.
You really do.
You really, like, if your tires are bald or something, you'll go flying. But really, winter tires, you need them. You need that traction.
I'll tell you what, I have more issues with hydroplaning than I do with snow. Because I think the hydroplaning, you're not expecting it, you know? When you hit that little patch of wet, and then you're like, oh boy.
That is really scary.
Because I think with the snow, you're already on high alert, white knuckling, you know?
You know what the worst is, though, when you have, in the winter, when you have the truck in front of you, and it's spitting the snow back in, so it's like hydroplaning, but with snow, and it's frozen to your window. Oh, it's the worst.
And listen, I know you might have a big SUV, I know you might just be 5 feet tall, but you gotta try to get the snow off your car before you drive. And this can go on. Six, 7 days after a snowstorm if it's cold out.
Absolutely.
And that might be exactly what happens, is it just starts to melt a little bit. You get those pockets. It's like someone threw a snowball at your windshield.
Yeah, yeah.
Clean the roof of your car.
It's more than three words, but yes. Clean the roof.
Advice for driving in the snow in three words or less, unless you're the host, in which case, you know.
As many words as you
want. Yeah, like I was a CEO at Twitter, I'll use more than 140 characters.
Well, look at you.
That's your he said.
She said.
You can call us at 774-4444. Get us on Facebook. You can also text us at that phone number. Your answers are coming up. Just getting underway with a post-blizzard he said.
She said.
Do you have advice for driving in the snow in just three words or less, if you can do it?
Haley said, give everyone space.
Okay.
Eric said, easy on turns. And Jason said, just go, idiot.
See, he's the one that's going to give you trouble. You know that.
Just go, idiot. I like it.
You shouldn't be talking to people on the road like that.
Well, you're in your own car yelling at people.
What and I mean? Said at the very beginning of our broadcast today that I'm moody today.
You are.
And I would not call someone an idiot. Now, maybe to myself I would.
Well, that's what I mean. I think he's saying that to himself in his car, maybe. I don't know.
Because what you definitely don't want is road rage on the ice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because then you get a reality show going on, like we were talking about yesterday. Let's go to line number one.
Working remote rocks.
There you go. There you go.
So not driving in the snow at all. Okay.
Yes.
All right, thanks for calling. Let's go back to line two.
I'll do it in two.
Okay.
Drive slowly.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. Only go as fast as you're comfortable going.
Very sound advice.
Uh-huh.
Don't be stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for being there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. It's advice for driving in the snow in three words or less. Could be the actual act of driving. Mm-hmm. Could be something you need to prepare your vehicle for. Could be something you need to be aware of when it comes to other drivers. More of your answers coming up. That's today's He Said.
She Said.
It's He Said, She Said, with Robbie and Rochelle.
Talking about driving in the snow, advice you have for driving in the snow in three words or less. It's funny, like, if you say there's a blizzard, you're like, oh, I got to go to work. Everybody wants to give you advice.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what you do? Make sure you have a blanket in the trunk.
Uh-huh.
Give yourself lots of extra time. Careful on those off-ramps and on-ramps. You hear people give, just like when it's, you know, the middle of the summer. They say, make sure to stay hydrated.
Well, you know.
Make sure you give your pets extra water, too. It's like, these are common sense things you would think.
Sure. But
have you ever had a horrible thing happen when you're driving out in the snow?
I don't know if it was horrible, but I did have one time I was coming back from school, and I lived about 45 minutes away from the campus.
Yeah.
And there was a blizzard coming down, and it took me almost 4 hours to get home. Because I was driving. It was a 97 Escort.
Oh, yeah. Scoot.
Scoot the Scoot.
We've talked about Scoot.
Scoot the Scoot that had 12-inch wheels, like the smallest tires you could get.
It's like riding a unicycle.
Seriously, they were cheaper, so I bought smaller rims to put on my car because I was always replacing tires. So I bought so that it was horrible in the snow. And I was on the freeway in Michigan, and the snow there is awful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 4 hours it took me to go what is normally 45 minutes. It was very nerve-wracking.
You watch these documentaries about, the Alaskan wilderness on the Geographic Channel or whatever, mm-hmm. National Geographic. I can't imagine. There are people that live in these little towns where it's, minus 50 most of the year.
Yeah.
They get 2 feet of snow every day.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with that.
Well, that's what you were showing me, pictures from the blizzard of, what was that?
The blizzard of 78. People still talk about that all over the Northeast.
I mean, there were cars on the freeway. What did you do? You walked home?
That's exactly what people did.
Like, look at the shoes I have on today. Look at these. I have no socks on.
You got, what do they call those kind of shoes?
They're Converse.
Converse,
on, no socks. My ankles are out. I would be so screwed if there was a blizzard
and
I had
a lot of people.
Home. I don't even know what I would do. So... I mean, it's not a bad thing if someone's like, make sure you have a blanket in the car, because had that happened to me, I'd be like, thank you for telling me to put a blanket in my car.
Or you just would have slept in your car?
No, I mean, I don't know. I would have covered
What good is a blanket going to do you?
I don't know. I would have made socks or something out of them. I don't know.
I'm going to whittle some socks.
Well, you could rip it and throw it. I don't know. All I'm saying is it would be better to have than not to have.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, there was a snowstorm once I was on the air, and I was so stressed out about having to be on the air during this storm that I just stayed at the building and waited for it to be over.
And was it as bad as you expected?
Yeah, it was terrible. Oh, it was 2.5, 3 feet of snow.
Well, it's good that you were there. I mean,
So I was like, I'm going to come in and I'll do the storm coverage. Mm-hmm. And then I get done at night and I just sat there at the building for 8 hours.
Doing nothing.
Drove home at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody on the road.
Well,
they had plowed by that point.
Yeah.
And I was just tooling along this was the smart thing to do. You feel some great satisfaction,
there
you know?
There you go.
All right, let's grab one more caller.
Very freaking slow.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's true. I mean, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, but there's one thing. It's one thing to say go slow, but go very freaking slow. That underlines the point. Don't drive like a fool, okay? Yeah. We'll keep this going. You can still text us, 774-4444, anytime. Mm-hmm. You can also get us on Facebook. Advice for driving in the snow in three words, your he said.
She said.
We got it done.
We persevere, right? All right, so I'll start rolling here and get you off the phone as quickly as possible. So,
that's good.
All right, here we go. Well, Don, first of all, I have to say it is a thrill to talk to you. I've been a fan of your work, of your music for many, many years. So thank you for making some time for us. And we're excited to see you at the Basie Center February 28th. Big show coming up.
Yeah, you know, I look forward to coming back there and playing for you guys. It's going to be a really fun, rocking evening. I have some of the best players in the music business in my band. Everybody's impeccable credits are just amazing. I'll just tell you a couple of I'll keep it short.
Yeah.
My bass player, everybody is a sterling vocalist, first of all. You have to be if you're in a band that's playing and singing Eagles music. But they're top-notch session and touring musicians. My bass player is a guy named Bruce Atkinson, plays and sings with a guy named Richard Marks and a friend of mine named Kenny Loggins.
Sure.
Our drummer is a monster. He's played with everybody in Nashville. Rascal Flatts, Sheryl Crow, Little Big Town, Brad Paisley, and he was Keith Urban's touring live drummer for 6 years.
Oh,
this
wow.
guy is just a monster, right? I stole my keyboard player named Rob Arthur right from Peter Frampton's band. And Peter, to this day, is angry at me for doing it. This guy sings and plays like you've never heard. He's played with a guy named Sting, which maybe you've heard of, Peter Frampton, and he works with Billy Joel. So how do you have that kind of pedigree, and that's not the pedigree of a bar band musician, you know? So I got a hot rod young guitar player out of Nashville. He's been with me about 5 years now, and his name is David Meyer, and he's played with Kid Rock, Kenny Chesney, and he was in the Tanya Tucker band for I think 4 years or something. Just amazing singers, players, and it's just a wonderful night of fantastic music. We play a lot of Eagles songs that I either co-wrote, recorded with, or toured with the Eagles in the 27 years I was on the road with those guys. And we play so many favorites that people know and love, from Already Gone to Take It Easy, Tequila Sunrise, Peaceful Easy Feeling, Heartache Tonight, Life in the Fast Lane, and of course Hotel California. I do some of my solo stuff, a song called Heavy Metal. I usually do American Rock and Roll, which is the title track of my last CD.
Right.
And then I do a little tribute to Stevie Ray Vaughan and play one of his songs. It gives me a chance to just step out and play the blues with a song called Pride and Joy. It's just a really fun, great night of music and partying. And by the time we get to the last 4 or 5 songs, everybody in the place is up on their feet dancing and partying and having a great time. And they leave the place at the end of the show going, wow, that was better than I expected. That was unbelievable. And I can't tell you, if you go look at any of them, Instagram or Don Felder on Facebook or any of that stuff, you'll see all the comments about these shows from people that have attended and let them speak for themselves instead of me just telling you about it. But it is a lot of fun, and I don't know who has more fun, me playing for everybody and having such a good time and being the leader of the party, or everybody in the audience. I think we both have a great time.
No, I have no doubt. Well, you're making my job easy because you've touched on a lot of things I wanted to ask you. But let me go back and ask about a couple of these things. First of all, I think it's really neat that you talk about the group of musicians you surround yourself with. There is that influence from country, that influence from rock. And that really is what made a lot of the music that you did with the Eagles famous, was a country rock blend. And it's kind of neat that you're still doing that yourself now, you know, blending those different genres together with the kind of musicians that work with you.
Well, I would say that these musicians are musically probably capable of playing anything.
Right.
They're just such an incredibly high caliber of dexterity and musical insight that it's just amazing. When this band starts playing, you're like, whoa. Even I'm knocked over on occasion, and when I haven't, been out with them for 2 or 3 weeks, or and then we get back on the first sound check. It's like, yeah, that's the stuff right there, you know. So it's just it's amazing to play with such high caliber musicians, and everybody sings. We do vocal rehearsals backstage with the acoustic guitar to just freshen up everybody on the background harmonies and everything. And you stand there hearing these guys sing a cappella, and it's just wow.
Now, for people that might not have heard it, by the way, you talk about your last album, which came out a couple of years ago, American Rock and Roll. You got people like Slash playing with you on there. Man, that must have been a lot of fun to make that record.
Well, the first two records I made, the solo albums, I did all the guitar work myself. Except for one song, I got Steve Lukather from Toto to come in and play guitar with me on one song. And this last record, I said, you know, I really want to sit down with people that I know, that I play with, that are fun, that are just, it's a fun hang. So if I can spend a half day in the studio with Slash playing and telling jokes and laughing and having a great time, it's better for me than it is for me to just be sitting in there by myself and just creating. There's a spontaneity. Like when Slash came in, he came in and sat down and he played on American Rock Roll. He said, well, what do you want me to play? And I said, I'm not going to tell you how to play guitar. I brought you in to be you. You play where and what you want to play. I mean, that's what got you where you are, is being you. I'm not going to show you, here, play this, you know. And same thing, like we got all these different players, Sammy Hagar, and I flew up to his place in a studio outside San Francisco and walked in, and he went, well, what do you want me to sing? Are we going to write these lyrics? I said, no, I've written out all the lyrics. And I sang it for him. He said, this is the first time I haven't had to work to write and make a melody and lyrics and stuff. This is easy. This is fun. So
right.
we were just kicking around, having a good time. And within 30 minutes, we both sung our parts. And, you know, it's a level of competency that you're able to just do something and it just comes out really great. It's just right off the bat. So a lot of these people that came in, like Mick Fleetwood, actually recorded the opening and the first half of the drum track for American Rock and Roll in Hawaii at his studio and sent the stuff. And I wanted it to sound like Mick Fleetwood when it starts. And it sounds like the 70s, you know, he plays in his feel and in the tone of his drums. And then about halfway through it, the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers comes in like with like a 900-pound gorilla and starts playing the drums, and the track just roars, you know. And it's like that migration over the decades from that 70s music to like a more current sound and feel and pocket. And I wanted that blend to go from the first bar to the last bar and make that musical transition as well. So, yeah, so anyway, it was just fun putting together all these friends of mine to play on this record and singing it with me, and having Slash come up from his house, which is right down the street, and come in and sit and play guitar. It was just fun. I would do that again, and I didn't do it just to have a bunch of names on the record. I did it because I really enjoy playing with people. You know, it's one thing you go lock yourself in isolation in a studio and have to play all these parts. Yeah, they'll fit together beautifully, but it doesn't have that spontaneity of creation that you want to have on a record. So that's what that was.
Yeah, we're talking here with Don Felder. I'll tell you, your passion is palpable, and it's fun to talk to you. So I wonder, how have things, you know, you look back at your career, how have things changed as far as going in the studio, as far as touring? How have they stayed the same? So how, you know, how has the business changed over your years in the music business?
Well, you know, you talk about record stores have evaporated.
Right.
I used to love to go into record stores and flip through and find somebody's new record and, oh, take it home and put it on my turntable. Now people are actually going back to vinyl because the sound of vinyl with analog tube mic pre's, preamps and power amps, to me, sounds better than digital. It's digital has no warmth. It's all numbers.
I agree.
Numbers aren't warm. So, you know, people are actually going back, and You can't download your vinyl. You can download the digital format. But, you know, I know Steven Stills, and we were in a band since we were 14. He's got a house down the street about less than a mile from me. And in his studio, he has an analog 24-track tape recorder. And he still records a lot of his stuff on that analog tape recorder and then transfers it into Pro Tools and does his editing and stuff in Pro Tools instead of actually cutting a 2-inch piece of tape and sticking it together with a piece of glue tape, you know? So he captures that warmth in analog and tries to convert it into digital. I'm a big fan of analog myself. I always have been from the old Philco radios and the old early 50s Ford. You turn them on and they just sound great when it was playing, you know, Little Richard playing Tutti Frutti blaring out of that little Philco radio. It was just unbeatable.
Man, I want to live in the same neighborhood as Don Felder / and Stephen Stills. That must be a cool place to live. But, you know, it's funny, by the way, you bring up Little Richard, because this is something I wanted to ask you. I saw a quote of yours from a while back that seeing Elvis on Ed Sullivan is kind of what inspired you to get in this whole crazy business. Is that true?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we used to watch the Ed Sullivan Show every, I guess it was Sunday or Friday.
Yeah, Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday night, and it was in black and white, and they would have Topo, the talking little puppet, or some guy spinning plates on a pole, and he'd have to run around and spin these plates. And the night that Elvis was on, I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even own a guitar at that time. So I saw Elvis and all those girls screaming and him rocking and rolling, and I went, I think I'd like to do that. That looks like a lot of fun. So I got a guitar from a kid across the street and traded him a handful of cherry bombs for it. We didn't have any money to buy anything, you know. So I had to, I think it was missing two strings, and I was washing cars or mowing lawns to get money to go down to the drugstore, because there was no music store. But the drugstore used to carry black diamond strings, and I'd go in and buy one string. And then I'd come back and found a guy a couple of blocks away from me that had a guitar, and he could sort of play, but he showed me how to tune it, and he taught me this one song called Red River Valley. And so I was off and running, and I used to sit and listen to music and just train myself how to listen to it and figure out how to play it. And there was no teachers, there was no music school, you know, it was just me trying to figure out, how do you make this thing go? How do I sound like Buddy Holly? How do I sound like Elvis? You know, so that was my driving inspiration. Matter of fact, funny story. When Gibson Guitar Company wanted to produce what they called the Don Felder Hotel California guitar,
right?
They called me up and said, we want to do this. And I went, well, which one do you want to do? And they said, what do you mean, which one do you want to do? I said, well, do you want to do the white double neck that I had to play on the road, or do you want to do the 59 Les Paul Sunburst that I played in the studio? Because it was a totally different. They said, well, let's do both of them. I went, okay. So when I had to send my 59 Les Paul to them, their custom shop, so they could just go over it identically and manufacture it today, a perfect replica, down to cigarette burns and cracks and stuff. And on the back of it, I used to wear a belt with a metal belt buckle, and it just corroded and tore the finish off the back of that guitar. And so when I got to the Gibson custom shop when they were making this thing, I said, oh, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do those scratches in the back of that guitar on the ones you're making? And he pulled out this drawer and pulled out this belt buckle. It was a rhinestone belt buckle that said Elvis on it. And he started scratching the back of my guitar. And I said, that's how I started, and that's how it's going to go. Elvis was the inspiration, and he's just embedding himself in every one of these guitars that are going out with my name on it.
Man, that's a great story. I got to ask you about, I think my favorite song of yours, if you don't mind my saying so, is the song you got on the soundtrack of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You wrote it with Kenny Loggins, who you mentioned, Never Surrender. Can you talk a little bit about that song and how it got to be in the movie?
Yeah, I got asked to write a song. I was doing some single soundtrack songs. So instead of trying to do a whole album, I'd just do one song for that, and one song for heavy metal, and another song for a different movie. And so Kenny and I had been hanging out and talking about writing. So when I got the call to do that, to write something for that movie, I called up Kenny and said, hey, you want to help me write this song? And he said, yeah, come on up. So I drove up to Santa Barbara, and we was in his little guest house playing guitar and just kind of came across those chords and licks. And then he started singing some melodies on top of it. And then we recorded it on a little cassette recorder, which is what everybody used to have back then. And I took it back to my studio and I kind of made a demo track. And then I started singing and writing lyrics and sent him a copy of the track. And he started singing and writing lyrics. And between the two of us, we came up with the song Never Surrender. And Kenny was really wonderful in helping arrange and produce that and singing on it with me. He sang all the harmonies on it with me. So it was a really fun project. As a matter of fact, that kind of momentary inspiration is what I really missed and wanted to include on doing my American Rock and Roll album by inviting all these people in to just write with me and play with me. I wrote everything, but to arrange it, you know, was a lot of fun.
Well, that's a fun song, and I know we're going to have a lot of fun seeing the music live again. I could talk music with you all day, but we got to let you run to Basie Center. It's February 28th. Tickets are on sale right now, so you can go to their website or call the box office. Don Felder, thanks for making some time for me. Really, really great to talk to you.
Well, please come out to the show and come backstage afterwards and say hello, and let me thank you personally for taking the time to do this for me. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right.
Robbie and Rochelle in the Morning on 107.1 The Boss is brought to you by DeluxeCarCareLLC.com, home of the Deluxe Rinseless Detailing Kit for a shine above the rest.